Hello and welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. My name's John. I'm joined by Travis today, and we are going to be talking about serving. What's the importance of serving? Why does the church so often call people to serve? I know both of us grew up in the church, and so much of my experience in the church was about either actually serving or hearing people talk about serving. And so we thought it would be a good thing to dig into today. And this topic makes me think about something, maybe one of the coolest things that I've ever seen the local church, and actually it was several local churches, do together. When I was a teenager, my family was a part of planting a new church in Northern Illinois. And one of the things that the leadership of that church did within the first 5 years, it may have even been in the first 2 years, but we did something called ShareFest. And the idea behind ShareFest was that our church and all the other churches in the community that we could get together, we would all come together on one day, usually in the fall on a Saturday morning. We'd get together, worship together, pray, and then we would mobilize all of those people from all the different churches to go out and serve in the community. So we did things like, you know, we would, whatever the public works needed at that time, we would do. So I remember one year we went around painting fire hydrants. So we did I was a youth pastor at the time. And I had
some people call that community service.
Yes. Well, but we did it. We did it in the name of Christ. So
oh, there you go.
I like to think it was a little bit better. I don't know. But we went out and imagine, I was a youth pastor at the time. I was with junior hires and senior hires. I spent probably like a 12-hour day just painting fire hydrants, walking from hydrant to hydrant in town with paint and all the supplies. It wasn't my favorite project in the world. But another cool thing we would do is we'd go to – there was an elderly I'm trying to think of
nursing
how to describe
home?
Well, it wasn't really a nursing home. It was more of a community.
Like a community center thing or like a
there was an actual
gated neighborhood?
It was kind of a gated neighborhood that was for I actually remember what it's called. It's called Rainbow Manor, I believe. Anyway, it was all just elderly people and they were basically living in double wides and stuff.
Yeah.
But we would go and do yard work for them and clean their windows and stuff that they couldn't do. Anyway, the whole thing that was cool about it, besides serving people, was seeing other churches come together and serve. You know, so we'd have evangelicals with Catholics, with Lutherans, with whatever, we'd gather together and just serve. Have you seen anything like that where you saw the church or even maybe outside of the church, some sort of example of serving that made you go, wow, that is cool?
Yeah. Just off the top of my head, there were a couple things that were super impactful to me as a young guy, younger guy. I'll
there
put
you go,
that in
younger.
There. But my youth group, we would do different kind of service projects. And growing up in a little bit of a bigger area than up here, we had soup kitchens and stuff down there. So one of the things that regularly our youth group would do is we were on the rotation to go and serve there. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing, you just get out of your environment a little bit, out of your comfort zone, and just get to help people in the community. There were no strings attached or anything like that. When we were in Colorado, one thing that we did, it was like the same kind of an idea, but it was around Thanksgiving time. So we hosted a Thanksgiving dinner the week before for folks in the community that may or may not have family that they were able to spend stuff with. The cool part that I liked about that is that we were super intentional. Like, it wasn't just, hey, we're cooking food and serving you. You were to go and hang out with some people there and just sit down and talk with them. And I met some super cool people through that. Actually was kind of buddies with one for a few years while we still lived there and kind of just helped him out with some different things. So you developed relationships.
Oh,
it wasn't just like, hey, here's a ticket or a number on your sheet. It was actually, it's people that you were serving. And that component of the love of Christ and sharing that was super huge. Some of the other stuff that was kind of cool that I remember in college, our football team did in the spring, we had a community cleanup time. So all you got your jersey on, you got out and just walk through or canvas a neighborhood and just pick up trash and stuff. And people would come out of their houses and you obviously had the team jersey on there. So that's cool. And you talk to them and you just got to kind of build some rapport with the community. And I think the advantage of those things is when you have a position of notoriety, even just a recognized group within a community, to give back is huge.
Yeah. It's interesting, this idea of serving. My dad works in the business world, and a few years ago, he was showing me an article he was writing for like his leadership team or whatever at this big company, and it was about servant leadership. And so that was, I mean, I had been working in the church for a while at the time, growing up in the church. So like serving is not a foreign concept to me, but this idea at the time that this was starting to become a value in the business world too, this idea of serving, it's an interesting thing. And if you look at scripture, Mark chapter 10 has an interesting discussion that we see between Jesus and a couple of his disciples, James and John. Actually, they come to Jesus, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but essentially what they do is they ask for a special place amongst the other disciples. They want to be Jesus's go-to, Jesus's right-hand guys, that kind of thing. And Jesus kind of goes, you don't understand what you're asking for. And he goes on and adds some more to it. But it gets to the end and he brings all the disciples together. I want to read what he says to them. This is from Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 42. It says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
That's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it runs so counter to how our world typically works, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, they're, like you said, they have an agenda. They're coming to Jesus. They're like, hey, we see that you've got these giftings that you're drawing a crowd. People are following in. I don't think they fully understand who Jesus is and the mission that God has for him. But they see some of the benefits of following him, and they're like, we want in on this action, man, you know?
Yeah.
And when you think of serving, like all those experiences that we talked about, there was something for us about that. You know, it felt good to serve, to give back to your community, to share the lives of other people who maybe were down and out. And the thing about serving, it doesn't matter if it's within a church, a Christian context, or just, you know, probably aside from maybe community service. But when you make that choice to go out and do something, there's tons of studies out there that talk about the benefits that it has.
Yeah.
Yes, you feel positive about it. You feel good about yourself. But there's studies that also show that there's mental and physical things that are attributes from serving too. And some of those things are like reducing depression, your blood pressure lowers, it can lengthen your lifespan. But the idea always comes back to putting people's needs before yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that also has a benefit of strengthening those relationships as well. But this idea of the Son of Man came to serve and not be served is completely countercultural for what they were looking for from Jesus.
It went against their expectations.
Yeah. They wanted him to be the guy that was coming in to overthrow the Roman government, to give power back to the Jewish people and like this new political movement. And that's not what Jesus came for.
Yeah, I mean, as you read in the Gospels, which are the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these accounts of Jesus' life, over and over, he's really flipping the script on what the expectations were when he came. And this is one of the big ones that I think, as I read it, it doesn't seem like the disciples really understand this until after he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other examples like this where they're like not getting the point. And so Jesus has to say things like, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Okay. So follow me. So when we talk about, in the church, why it's so important for us to serve, a part of it is because we're following Jesus' example when we serve.
Yeah, we are. I mean, you talk about that passage there, it makes me think of other ones where, you know, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, you look at Philippians chapter 2, and he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, mm-hmm. being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus not only modeled this, but he left that behind to call us to it. Mm-hmm. So this idea of like, how are we serving? You talk about servant leadership. It's not about gain that you can get. It's about how you can bless others, how you can equip others, how you can yeah. build others up. And obviously within a church context, that is for the mission of the church to mm-hmm. seek and save the lost, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus and the salvation that he brings, and ultimately to see lives transformed as people are far from God and come to know God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a part of a big part of why serving is so important, because it demonstrates the gospel,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, there's the played out kind of cliche about, you know, share the gospel, use words if necessary. You know, the idea being like, just show people with your actions
yeah.
what it means to be loving, what it means to be servant hearted, and humility. You talked about, you know, in that passage you read, the humility that Christ modeled for us. You know, when I think about so many of the disagreements or the tensions in the world that we live in, often I think if both sides of these arguments had a little dose of humility, it would change what things look like.
Drastically.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and we've talked, you know, about this in previous episodes, but there's something like beautiful about when you serve out of love for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like that heart posture is different, your motivations are different, and it's not about what you can get, but what you can give. And that's the whole idea behind servant leadership. You yeah. know, I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and it's one of my favorite leadership podcasts, Kerry Newhoff leadership podcast, and he had Tim Tebow on there. And if you don't know who Tim Tebow is, he was a former super great, well-known college athlete. I think he won like 3 college championships, national championships with Florida Gators mm-hmm. during his time. Heisman Trophy winner, like came out, was going to be an awesome NFL guy, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. And so
did he get hurt?
No.
Or was he just not good?
No, his mechanics were not fantastic for NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went to the Denver Broncos and didn't play a ton. And then he did later on in the season, won him mm-hmm. a playoff game. And then everybody was just like, oh, this guy's
yeah.
terrible.
The most I know him for is the kneel. You know,
yeah.
he always did the kneel prayer. Well, Tebowing, which it's like a verb now.
Yeah, it is. And he had, I mean, he was a servant leader through and through. But our podcast was just talking about like some of the adversity that he went through, but also some of the stuff that he's done philanthropy-wise, and also just with his faith. Like, he's not a guy that was shy about sharing his faith. Anyway, he's talking about serving and like just the perspective that it gave him and his wife as they've joined in this partnership for some of his
yeah.
charity foundations. And the thing that he does, Shine, is one of those mm-hmm. where they host these events just to give folks with mental disabilities just a fantastic night. He's like, they're kings and queens of this night. We lift them up. We share Jesus with them. So there's always that faith component. But he said that some of the stuff that really impacted him growing up was the serving that he did. And his dad was a pastor, so he was a church guy, and mm-hmm. you know, drinking the church Kool-Aid on Wednesday nights and having the potlucks. But when he went through periods in life where it was difficult and challenging, and he rode those peaks and those valleys. But he said one of the things that drew him back was serving. And a quote from that podcast was that the greatest way that you can regain perspective is to serve. And so he talked about, you know, I think he was hoping to win a second Heisman Trophy or something like that. And he had one of those Shine folks with him, this girl.
Yeah.
It was his quote-unquote date for the event. And so he was up for a bunch of awards, and he didn't win the first one. He didn't win the second one. He's starting to get frustrated. He's like, I brought this gal with me, and now she's sitting next to a bum loser. But he's like, the perspective of me just, in, you know, kind of pouring into her,
mm-hmm.
serving her, and just showing the love of Christ to her, of something that she probably wouldn't have normally been able to do. He's like, that that gave me a different perspective about how to serve, how to live, yeah. how to lead. So I thought that was super cool.
That's an awesome story. And, you know, yeah, it's a great example to hear and very well articulated by him. I appreciate that. So there's another part of serving that I want to talk about briefly. I know we're getting close to our time here. But there's this other part of serving that we see addressed in Scripture, which I'll say it like this and see if this makes sense. You restate it if you need to. I think you know what I'm talking about here. But in 1 Corinthians 12, we see this discussion where Jesus is talking about the church. And he uses this body analogy for the church. Maybe you've heard it before, like the body of Christ. It comes from this analogy that Jesus uses. And he's describing the church as a body. I'm sorry, this is Paul, not Jesus. Paul's describing the church as a body, and he kind of gets into like the necessity of all the different parts. So what I want to say about serving from this is that oftentimes we learn about our purpose when we serve, mm-hmm. especially when we serve in the places that we were made to serve in. So here's a way that I've heard this put before. You know, this gets broken down into like, you know, the hand saying that I don't belong to the body, or saying I don't need you, foot, or whatever. The point here is like each one of the parts of our body has a very specific design and purpose. And if you try to use your hand for something that it's not designed for, there's going to be frustration. And the same kind of thing applies when we're trying to figure out what are the specific gifts and talents that mm-hmm. I have that God wants to use to serve other people. I think it's worth it to figure out and seek God to help you figure that out, because once you fit into that spot where you were designed to fit into, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I think that is something that is important to hit on when we talk about this serving thing, is the gift side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if your gifting is whatever, let's say musical talent, yeah. and you're trying to run the financials and keep the accounting books, like you're probably going to be frustrated because, you know, you're a hand, but you're trying to work as a foot.
Yeah.
And so I think that illustration that Paul uses, it just makes a ton of sense. It reminded me of the passage out of 1 Peter where he's talking about each one of you should use whatever gift mm-hmm. that you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And it talks about if you're one that speaks, you should speak the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised or glorified through Christ Jesus. When you find, not necessarily your niche, but when you find your groove in that, and usually those giftings are going to be, you're talented at something, you've got somewhat of a passion for it. It's not self-serving, it's other-serving. And so I think that's the beauty of the church, the local church especially, mm-hmm. because that's where the rubber's going to meet the road, and you're actually going to get to use those talents and gifts to serve others. And it doesn't mean that, like, you know, it's, I don't know how to say it. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but right. it's this idea of unity. So your whole body, if you sprain your ankle, it affects your whole body. You know, if you're part of a local church and you're not plugged in and serving in some way, it does affect the whole body. You know, the church might not be limping around because of it, but we're called to be stewards of those things and handle those things wisely. And God has given us as believers a mission to do those things. So it's hard, I think, for sometimes folks to wrap their heads around, like, well, the only place to serve is like teaching Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I'm not a teacher, and I don't really like hanging out with kids.
Yep.
That's okay, because mm-hmm. everybody's got their spot and their place, you know, and sometimes it's figuring out something outside the box. One of those outside ideas where, you know, maybe you're super into fixing up cars. How could you serve other people right. doing that? There's probably plenty of people within Evangel for sure, and every other church that you attend, that maybe have a need for an oil change once in a while.
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't have to be just like, we're being very holy and we're teaching the word of God. It's, what did God equip you? How did he give you talents?
I know of I feel like I have a list in my head of my favorite ministries when it comes to like unique serving things. And I know of a ministry at a previous church of mine that their whole thing, they would do these monthly car clinics, they called them. And there was a guy in the church who had an awesome garage, like two big bays with a lift and all the tools and all that kind of stuff. And they would have single moms come to that clinic, and they would, you know, basic stuff.
Yeah.
You know, oil changes,
transmission
filters,
rebuild,
yeah, whatever, you know, the small stuff. But their whole thing was they would do all the work for free. Even if it was something bigger, I think they would do bigger jobs too. The work was free as long as the mom could come and learn something about the process.
Yeah.
Cause so it was serving, but also empowering. So yeah, I mean, it's the number is almost limitless of things that you could do to serve others. But sometimes you got to get creative and think, well, what is the gifting or the interest or the thing? What has God given me that I can use to bless other people? And my this thing about this body analogy, if you're a hand that's been trying to be a foot for a long time, when you get to that hand roll, it's the best.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you've seen this over the years with putting volunteers in different roles and stuff. When I find the perfect spot for somebody, it's one of the greatest things to watch,
mm-hmm.
because you see all of a sudden, you know, this is the way I think of it. Sometimes it's like when those volunteers are in the wrong, maybe they have gifts, but it's not their number one gift, or maybe they're serving outside of their gifting. It's like they're limping along.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going, they're still serving, but they're sort of limping along. I've seen so many people where you get them in the right role, and all of a sudden it's like they're running full steam ahead, and you're like, oh, this is the spot, you know.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, and it's worth chasing after.
Well, and like we said, serving in the local church is super important. We're called to that as believers, but I think you can serve others outside of the walls of the church too.
Absolutely.
And so even if your natural gifting isn't an evangelist, we're all called as believers to be ready to give an account for why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. And I think when you combine that with the passage of, I think it's Galatians, of serve one another humbly out of love, mm-hmm. we've all got neighbors.
Yeah.
We've all got coworkers. And we talked about this idea of not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. There are ways that you can serve others. If your neighbor is struggling, if he's maybe older or something mm-hmm. and struggling with yard work, lend him a hand. If the family's on hard times and they've got a family member who's ill or somebody that's passed away, bring them a meal.
Yep.
Even if you're younger, like I think of all the young families in our church, you know, somebody could say, hey, I'm going to babysit so that you and your husband could go out tonight. Like there are tons of different ways able to serve other people.
Go ahead.
I was going to say even one that kind of bounces past our mind, but if somebody is homebound, just to have somebody come and visit them and say hello and spend some time with them. And that just takes time and conversation.
Yeah. And the thing about those kinds of opportunities, you know, for those of you who are a part of a church out there, you are going to know better than your church what your neighbor needs 90% of the time, you know? So this is where the ideas like being the hand and feet of Jesus out there in the world become really important, because God has put you in your neighborhood, in your job, in your family on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to use you where you're at. I think he wants to use you to serve in the local church as well. And I think those things will likely overlap sometimes, but he wants to use you wherever you're at.
It's a both and.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we'll close here because we're out of time, but that reminds me of the passage of Philippians 2:1-4. As we go about serving God and others, let us do so with a spirit of humility and brotherly love. So wherever God has you planted, that's where he wants you to grow. And when you grow, you produce fruit. And as we know with the apple harvest right now, there's fruit that blesses others. So we hope that you guys have some takeaways from this thing today, that this is some good news that you can use, and that you can use your gifts and your talents and your God-given abilities to serve and bless others wherever God has you. So thanks for hanging out with us today. If you guys liked our episode or did not like our episode, feel free to give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Or if you've got other topics that you'd like us to cover, travis@evangelup.org is the email to send those to. And if you want to catch up on anything else our episodes are on, your favorite mobile platform, you can search out Evangel Houghton on your podcast or check in with evangelup.org. That's our website, and you can find those there as well. Thanks.